Welcome to episode 258 of After the Credit Time. Your co-host Brian Antunes of quieter.us and atcpod.ca joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, I have no witty comeback.
Dale 42 on Twitter and atcpod.
Nice. We're back together.
Woohoo.
We've had like, has it been like 2 months or 3 months where we've done like...
Oh, it's been 3 months since we've all been together.
Yeah, because right. We did two by ourselves and then I did one with Colleen.
That's yeah. Right.
So it's nice to have the crew back together.
And it's sad. It's the last recording in
Studio 42
on the North Shore.
Okay, well, let's say Studio 42A, soon to be Studio 42B.
42.1.
42 on the North Shore. The
42.1.
So the next one we'll have to come up with an appropriate name.
Studio 6x9.
I want to inhabit the apartment for a while to see what its personality is before I start
naming it
and stuff. Yeah,
we're gonna call it the unnamed studio.
Studio 6x9.
I like it. Sure, yeah,
that's what I
say. I am planning already, but
yeah,
it will depend on the space. So much stuff to purge.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I know that feeling. All right. But let's talk some movies. April is a busy, busy month. Full of a lot of stuff.
Some interesting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess it's worth mentioning that the list could maybe change because there's a lot of sort of smaller indie titles here. And we're recording this like a full... like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Close to that.
Yeah. It's about a week earlier than we usually record, but...
And there's at least one movie that was pushed back.
So there we go.
Which we might skip over. So it's
it's
a mystery.
You'll have to mention it because I didn't notice that anything was pushed back.
So. There is one that's many, 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 many months.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, let's jump right into April 5th and Shazam!
Shazam!
I think it looks fun.
It looks fun. I mean... I'm not a big Zachary Levi fan.
Oh, see, and I like Zachary Levi.
But I love superhero movies that have joy in them.
Okay,
so this looks like it has joy.
Okay, so I have a question. Is Zachary Levi actually an actor, or is he like a host? Because I've only known him from hosting stuff.
Oh, no, he was
host. Wasn't he Chuck?
Chuck.
Oh, yeah, Chuck. He had an entire series.
Okay,
and he did the Prince on Tangled, I think.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
All I know him from is hosting duties.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
They changed his look quite a bit for Chuck so that he wasn't quite as Hollywood-y, handsome kind of thing.
Yeah, because he certainly has that going for him.
Yeah.
So this is one that even Dan is interested in. He's like, this looks like fun. I'm like, okay, I'm in. Because I thought it looked like fun, too. I mean, I don't know how... I mean, I'm not familiar with the story of Shazam.
I'm not either.
So I don't know if this is, like, true to the origin story that people are familiar with in the comic books, but whatever.
I think this puts us at an advantage.
Yeah, probably.
We can just go in with no expectations and enjoy.
I think it looks fun.
It's like Tom Hanks Big meets, I don't know, something. Some superhero film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Greatest American Heroes. Tom Hanks Big meets Greatest American Superhero.
What do they call it? A Mary Sue? Like, I'm sure this was written by someone who as a kid wished for exactly.
Every power wrapped into one character. Yeah,
exactly.
From a magic belt.
Yeah, I do like the whole, let's find out what powers you have. Like the whole Greatest American Hero where you don't know what the suit does. Like,
they did a great job on the trailer, too.
Yeah, it certainly looks like it plays the... I'm excited.
Aren't they redoing Greatest American Hero?
Probably.
Oh, they've talked about it on and off.
I'm terrified yet hopeful.
Same here. Yeah.
All right.
The best thing about Greatest American Hero was the theme song.
Oh,
let's be totally honest.
Or not, yeah.
Like the best. Also on the 5th, this one is, I gotta admit, more in my wheelhouse, Pet Sematary, which I'd never realized is spelled wrong. Like, was that on purpose?
That's
probably. Of course it was, actually. Yeah. It had to go through editors and the whole. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it took me a long time to figure that out. I'm like, wait a minute, something's wrong here.
Well, I never did figure that.
Apparently, I have this thing.
This is why spell checkers are my friend.
Well, see, and this is how I discovered it, because I wrote the title of the movie somewhere, and the spell checker said, this is wrong. And I'm like, what do you mean it's wrong? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it is wrong.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay, so a remake of Pet Sematary. You bury the animals, but they may not really be dead.
Yeah. You know what? Pet Sematary, I have this weird affection for, the Stephen King one from, yeah, like when I was like 16 or something, yeah, like that, because they mistimed a musical sort of suspense cue,
yeah,
in it. Which and is there's why it like works. Three back-to-back jump scares in like about 10 seconds. Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, that's why it works.
Yeah.
That is why it's so effective.
I can't believe it was on purpose. It can't. They screwed up and it just worked out in their favor.
I agree. I think so. The things that I kind of like about this one is the directors. I really liked Starry Eyes, which they made. I don't know if it was the movie before this or two movies before this, which I really liked. And I like this cast.
Absolutely. What's his face?
Jason Clarke or John Lithgow?
John Lithgow. Yeah. I always love him. Pretty much anything he does, he's, I'm a big fan. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping for good things. I hope it comes out okay.
Yeah.
But you never know. Also on the 5th, The Best of Enemies, Sam Rockwell and Taraji P. Henson.
Wow.
Race relations story. I'm not sure.
Really? Oh, I just like the on-screen presence of the actors.
I kind of rolled my eyes at the story, though.
Really?
I know it's based on a true events, but the whole thing just feels so overdramatic.
It did feel, yeah, that way.
It does.
So overdramatic.
I'm still interested.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious. So, I mean, based on true events, story of
civil rights.
Civil rights story about a school that burns down. So they have to put the kids somewhere. So integration is coming, whether people like it or not. Taraji P. Henson plays the mother of one of the children. And also, I think she's some sort of organizer already.
Yeah.
And Sam Rockwell is the leader of the local KKK. So, hey, there's that.
I love watching Sam Rockwell. I do, and too. The great female lead looks awesome, too.
Yeah. So. The only thing that kind of took me out was it just felt a little bit overdramatic, but it could work.
It's funny. As soon as you said that, and then thinking back to the trailer, it's like, oh, she's right. But it didn't take me out of the trailer.
No.
For what it's worth.
I can totally see, to a certain extent, like there's so much segregation at that time. You only hung out, you only worked with your white colleagues, so the other was almost alien to you. And being forced to sort of deal with someone as a human being on, yeah, a one-to-one level is like sort of messing with your I'm supposed to hate you, and I'm having a real hard time with this at the moment.
Yeah.
I kind of like that dynamic.
Agreed. Yeah. Also on the 5th, Peterloo. This is Mike Leigh's new movie. Looks like a Mike Leigh movie. Mm-hmm. It's about the Massacre of Peterloo.
Oh, I'm glad you have that level of enthusiasm, because it was like I was rooting for this movie, but as I watched the trailer, it was like, oh.
It's very...
It kind of seems uninspiring.
No, well, the thing with Mike Leigh's movies is it's not that they're not inspired. They're just very purposefully paced. And that tends to take people out of the story. He has a very sort of naturalist approach to storytelling. And it sometimes feels like watching paint dry. For real.
Yeah.
It's for real.
It's also...
It's an acquired taste.
I got that from the trailer.
It's, yeah, also an error in history that I find... dull. Like, even though there's lots of stuff going on, like, the age of piracy ended, like, maybe 20 years before, and it's going to be another, like, 20 years from this point before you start hitting the Victorian age.
Yeah.
And there's just this block of, I don't know, like, the War of 1812 happened in this time, and all this other stuff happened, but at the same time, I just find it so boring.
Okay. So we're all sort of in agreement. And that's the thing. I mean, for me, Mike Leigh is the kind of filmmaker where I really have to be into the subject matter to want to see the movie. And I watch this and I'm like, it looks like a great Mike Leigh film. I just have zero interest in the story. So probably not for me. Teen Spirit, Yes, Please, Bring It On. For me, at least. I don't know. So directed by Max Minghella. So there is that. I guess maybe he wanted to. You know who he is, right?
I'm blanking.
The son of Anthony Minghella. Minghella.
I don't know how you pronounce it. Yeah.
He was on The Handmaid's Tale is the show that he's been on most recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's a talented actor, but obviously he wants to direct as well. This is a story of a young girl played by Elle Fanning who wants to become a superstar. Okay. And she's a singer, and it's just the story of that. I don't know. I thought it looked interesting. I like these kind of stories anyways. So
That's what it kind of struck me as, like, I will watch these kinds of stories if there's something that I find interesting, but it didn't feel like there was a whole lot in there for me. But
no, it doesn't feel like it's new or
It felt like it would have its audience, though.
Yeah. I mean, I would watch it really for Elle Fanning. And just to see, you know, how Minghella pulls out his feature film debut. But I don't know. I don't think it looks particularly interesting one way or the other.
Okay.
Also on the 5th, Storm Boy. Okay, I have no idea about this movie.
Neither do I.
Apparently it's based on like some best-selling Australian. Kind of scratching my eyebrow. It stars Jay Courtney and Jeffrey Rush. It's the story of this young boy who finds some seagulls?
Pelicans. I think it's pelicans.
Yes, you're right.
It's definitely pelicans.
Yes, raises them. They follow him around town. I don't know. It's a sweet story of a boy and his pelicans.
I think almost every area on Earth has these stories. Like we had Littlest Hobo, then Australia had Flipper, and they had Benji. There's the story of the Canadian who basically the Canadian geese and flew off in a. I think it's just one of these things that are targeted specifically for a certain regional audience of going, oh, someone raised our national little thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It looks very sweet.
Yep.
Very sweet. Not for me, but it looks very sweet.
It's no Littlest Hobo, but it'll do.
Nothing's Littlest Hobo.
God,
nothing
I miss
has
it.
Nothing else has a podcast named after it.
I'm gonna get a tattoo of Littlest Hobo. I know it. I'm glad Mom doesn't listen to this podcast.
Then your dad will definitely disown you.
That's right. All right.
Moving on to April 12th and Hellboy. Okay. Do you guys want to see a new Hellboy?
I don't know. I do want to see a new Hellboy, but David Harbour, I'm still like...
On the fence?
It's
weird, right?
I'm still stuck on what's-his-face. Like,
I know,
and it's the kittens,
weird.
And I feel invested with the other, but this looks really good, but I feel invested with the old.
The writing sounds good, mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, in the context of the movie, we'll see, like, some of the one-liners are a little weak, but some of them are really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, the visuals there, the story feels really good.
I really like Neil Marshall, the director, so I'm hoping for good things.
I think everything's going for it, except for my sort of, like, fondness
What is the fellow's name?
Guys,
Sons of Anarchy, dude.
That's not even what I'm thinking.
Oh
no! City of Lost Children. Why am I blanking on his name?
Dale is gonna fix it for us.
Oh, he has to.
But
because
in the meantime,
I feel shame.
But in the meantime, I really, really like Neil Marshall, so I'm hoping for good things.
There's a cat even that looks like him. He has his own Twitter account that is like he uses the names Cat.
Dale, is it gonna be
Ron Perlman?
Ron Perlman. Even Ron Perlman said, yes, the cat does look at me. He looked like me. Stop posting it.
I don't know. I just, like, everything about this movie says, yes, it's going to be awesome. But then I look at Hellboy and I'm like, but it's not Perlman.
It's really weird.
He's inhabited that. He's sort of made that character his own, his own, that it's just strange seeing anybody else in it. I'm still getting over that, but I think the movie looks like
it. I think it's going to be good.
I agree. I'm with you there. Also on the 12th, Missing Link, newest movie from Chris Butler. So this is the newest Laika offering, and Butler previously directed Paranorman, which is always good in my books because I love that movie.
That was a fun movie.
Yeah, me too. I love that movie. I think it's probably one of my favorite of Laika's movies. This one, I don't know. I'm not sure I really dig the story.
Yeah.
So it's about this guy that gets a letter from from somebody, and he goes searching for this person that sent the letter. It turns out to be like a missing ancestor of humanity.
Basically Bigfoot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it looks really charming, and I'm sure it'll look beautiful. The story, I just don't know if it really has anything going for me.
I was really feeling like it represented a throwback to a certain style of British humor with like the class system.
Okay. And I can see that.
I was really wondering with sort of some of the wording and the accents, how well, like how much we're missing as a North American crowd not tuned in.
That's an interesting observation.
And I'm the same as you. It's like I'm kind of on the fence. Like it looked charming enough, but a whole entire movie of what I saw in the trailer, yeah, I don't think I'm in
for that. That was the thing for me. I'm like, I'm not quite sure this is selling me on 90 minutes of this.
All right.
Also on the 12th, after... So, full admission. I watched this trailer and I'm like, this thing looks like really, really bad, but I really want to see it. And then, of course, I go digging and I'm like, oh, it's based on a book by Anna Todd, which I haven't read for the record. But she is known for her like romantic bodice ripper books. So you can kind of imagine what this is about. So it's a story of a guy who is dark and mysterious, who falls for this woman who is not dark and mysterious. Drama ensues. Will they stay together? Will they not? I have no idea, but you know it's a girl's night at the movies. I already have my date set, so hey, there is that.
Perfect.
Hard pass.
guys, you're missing out.
No.
Also opening on the 12th, Little. I'm very looking forward to this. I'm really, really excited about this one.
You know, this style of comedy, we don't have enough of them.
I really enjoy these movies.
It's not too frenetically over the top, but it is a little bit outrageous, and yep, it's like energetic, and it's just having fun.
Okay, so was there, I'm assuming that there was a movie before 13 Going on 30 that riffed on this storyline.
Freaky Friday, Big.
Well, yeah.
Big. Well, so for the people that don't know Little what the storyline is.
So Regina Hall stars as this very successful woman who wakes up one day as a young version of herself.
And she is like a total asshat bully, who is suddenly the littlest person in the room.
Yep.
And humor ensues.
Exactly. I think it looks like a lot of fun.
I like that. I liked that turnaround, actually. Like, if this was just another kid, you know, adult experiences life as a kid, I don't know that I would be as interested. But the fact that she's just like this maniacal bully, like a very talented woman, she's running a business, but also a bully. And then we have this juxtaposition, like, that's interesting to me.
Agreed. Yeah. Great. I just think it looks like fun.
It does look fun.
And it did look like fun.
But I will fully admit
when that cop at the schoolyard is like, oh, we have a black mother spanking kid incident.
Oh, if you only knew. as much as some of these other movies this week kind of piqued my interest, I must admit The High Life is the one that I'm most excited for. Because Claire Denis. Rob Patz. Guys, yeah. I'm all over this.
I had no idea what kind of the theme of the movie was. I mean, I get the father-daughter and dystopian future.
This is actually a very valid observation, because it is one of the complaints that the critics have about the film, was that it's kind of all over the place. I still think it looks great, though I have no real idea what's going on. Obviously, there's something more going on here than just the last remnants of society floating around in outer space trying to stay alive and procreate.
Yeah.
There might be some sort of like weird evil scientist involved too. I don't know.
This is a little bit too moody, atmospheric for my taste. If it's really good, if I hear it's really good, I'll take a flyer on it, but...
Looks fantastic. Not interested by the actual trailer, because I have no idea what the hell it is I just watched.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, Girls of the Sun, the story of a Kurdish female battalion who, like, basically goes around killing bad guys.
Hell yes.
Right?
Right on.
I was all over this. I saw this trailer. I'm like, okay, when does this movie come out that I get to watch it? hopefully it'll stream somewhere because I really want to see it.
I'm hoping it's the best parts of Inglourious Basterds and like one great big long string of violence.
It probably won't be because it's directed by a woman.
I know this, but
I was intrigued.
Yeah, it looks really interesting, and I think
I wasn't sure. Is this total fiction or based on reality?
I don't know about the origin story, but there is female battalions of Kurdish women that bring shame upon the opponents for basically kicking their ass.
Well, and I'm assuming, I mean, and that's an interesting interesting point because I didn't really look at the backstory information, but I thought I saw I think with the women, the one of the women is the reporter with the missing eye, whose name I cannot fucking remember, and she's a real reporter, so I'm assuming that this might be based on true events of some sort.
It said 7,000 women were kidnapped and put into basically sexual slavery. Most came back within like a year or two, and those are the ones that basically went, no, we're going to kill them now.
Yeah,
yes, you are.
Bring it on. Also on the 12th, Sauvage. I'm not quite sure this will actually open. It seems a little bit on the fringes, I think, for a mainstream release. Story of a young man who is on the street selling himself to stay alive and the nastiness that ensues.
A French film in French.
Yep. It looks really interesting. I quite like the cinematography. Not one I think I want to watch anytime soon. I don't know. It seemed very rough.
Seem rough, and I just can't see it in the theaters here. Like a film fest, 100%.
Yeah, it does feel like a film fest for North America.
Absolutely. Sure. Like VIFF, like one of the main things for VIFF. Yeah,
I can see that. Moving on to the 19th, The Curse of La Llorona. I'm not sure if this is, like, I kind of feel like La Llorona is, like, a South American, like, story that maybe has some history that I'm not really familiar with. What this trailer comes across as is just another
paranormal activity.
Paranormal movie about, you know, a woman whose kids are taken away, but there's maybe something more going on.
Lots of jump scares.
Yeah. Also on the 19th, Penguins, the Disney Nature.
These are the movies I hate. Let's personify wild animals so people don't...
Exactly.
Don't respect them for what they really are.
Come on.
The visuals are nice enough, but
this is why people feed grizzly bears and get mauled.
I'm sorry, if you're feeding a grizzly bear, you deserve to get mauled.
I know, right? But after you've seen some of these Disney things. Oh!
They're so cute!
You can't put human sort of things on an animal like that. It's not like a German shepherd solving crimes across Canada. That just makes sense. This doesn't.
You know what? I
will defend that to the end.
No,
man.
I'm okay with the shows that to some extent or another personify an animal in a fictional story. Like, because it's clearly a fictional story, you know? Absolutely.
But this is
except for
this
the is Lewis like Hobo, a nature movie. Real.
And it's like Disney nature, right? Yeah, it's completely
exactly.
No, the Lewis Hobo wasn't fiction. It was real.
God damn it.
Don't make me end you, Dale.
I stand corrected.
Don't make me end you. But yes, you're right.
Not a hill I'm willing to die on.
Me either. I don't.
It's one
you.
I am. No, penguins. You know what? They're not going off to their job in accountancy. They're penguins.
Yeah. Well, dude, it's a love story. Come on, get it right. Okay. Also opening on the 19th, Under the Silver Lake. If this, it was up to me, I would tell you not to see this movie, but then I am in the minority. I don't know if I'm in the minority, actually.
This is the one that got pulled
pushed
forward.
Back and pushed back and pushed back.
Yeah.
Probably because they don't know how to fucking sell it, because it makes no sense. Like, I mean, and this is the thing. If you talk to somebody that really likes the movie, like Bill, or I think Adrian really enjoyed it, they will defend it to the end that is the greatest thing. And I cannot.
See, from that trailer, I like it. I like the idea. It's like Paper Towns, but not with teenage angst that I want to punch into oblivion.
It's just massive confusion that you want to punch into oblivion.
I like codes. I like crypto. There's a conspiracy around every corner, and even though I don't believe them, I find them entertaining as hell. Yeah.
You might like this.
Maybe, yeah.
I just find it kind of long-winded and not good.
I'm just tired of it being pushed back again and yeah, again. Yeah,
I think
again.
Maybe you'll get to see it this time.
All right.
And did we say what we were talking about? Under the Silver Lake?
Under the Silver Lake.
You're, starring Andrew Garfield and Riley Carroll and...
Topher Grace,
who I had forgotten is in it. But yes, you're right. Topher. And directed by the director of It Follows. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened, guys. I don't know what happened. Also on the 19th, I got to say, I'm kind of curious about this. Rafiki, a Kenyan film about basically girlfriends being girlfriends.
Okay.
It's about women, you know.
Well, there wasn't a lesbian angle?
I don't know. There might have been a one-sided lesbian angle from the trailer, but I kind of got it to be more of a... women that are sort of rebelling against what's expected from their families. It just happens to be Kenyan, which brings an interesting flair to it.
Yeah.
I thought it looked beautiful. It did look beautiful.
Yeah. There was somebody who, I've heard this criticism before and now I kind of look out for it a bit more, but it's like, yeah, the cinematography around filming someone who's of color versus someone that's white. And this stuff made them look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just, it has like a different kind of feel to it. I don't know if it's the colors or the language. It just feels kind of fresh, which I'm always interested in.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Next is the film I'm least looking forward to in the upcoming month.
What, Breakthrough?
Breakthrough.
Oh, yeah, didn't do anything for me.
This is my.
I think I watched half the trailer before I'm like,
it's really? A fundamentalist chest thumper, I'm pretty sure.
Directed by Roxanne Dawson, who is known for directing Star Trek episodes.
Really?
Oh, really?
Like, going back to TNG.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's an interesting thing that I couldn't quite put together in my mind. But, you know, maybe it was just a job and maybe it's not. Who knows?
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, if you... You have your faith and it's personal.
Exactly.
You don't have to wear it.
Yep. I mean, for me, I just didn't really care for it. I thought, oh my gosh, it's overdramatic.
Well, based on the trailer, like we talked about this before, like if you're the kinds of overt religious movies that I enjoy are the ones where they're really chewing on the principles of the religion. This one isn't that. This seems to be really almost reductionist and something that, so the trailer that they were trying to tell in the story, the theme just didn't interest me.
I'm just going to use two words, Kurt Cameron.
So to clarify, the story is it's the story of a young boy that falls through a frozen lake and is barely alive, and he's in the hospital. In a coma, and they're praying for him to recuperate.
And his heart stopped, and then he came back to life, and it was a miracle because they prayed. And
honestly, if the kid dies, and
that would almost be more interesting.
No, that would be more. I mean, because that's the thing with prayer, right? Like prayer isn't always answered, and that is a question I find fascinating. Is like when God says no, basically.
Oh, so you mean to all the American politicians that after every let's pray?
Thoughts and prayers.
Don't get me talking. Yeah, don't get me talking on the distortion of that politics. Yeah. It's like when bad things happen, it's not because they're bad people, you fucking sons of bitches.
Oh, okay, let's move on.
And does that mean, the hurricanes hitting all your constituents means you're evil?
According to, Pat Roberts? It's because they're gays in the world. That's why we have hurricanes.
Yeah, like I said, we should not get started down this. We will not pull this thread.
No, we won't.
Anymore.
That's a different podcast.
That's totally altogether.
All right.
Also on the 19th, Little Woods, Nia DaCosta's new movie starring Tessa Thompson and Lily James as sisters trying to survive in... am I getting this confused with the next one? Modern Western.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So two sisters trying to survive through hard times. I'm honestly curious because it's two female leads, both of whom I really like, directed by a woman, and it said modern Western.
Well,
the trailer didn't really do much for me, but
I didn't know what to make of the trailer. Like you said, the performances, particularly Tessa Thompson,
she's very, very good.
Made it interesting to me. But the kind of the dark cinematography and some of the other stuff made it less interesting. But and the theme, well, it wasn't clear exactly what the theme was. Like they're selling drugs, but it's for good reasons, not bad reasons. And so are you a social commentary or are you something else?
I read the description. I can't remember it. I know I watched it. I can't even remember the slightest after reading this description.
I was honestly confusing it with Fast Color, which I think actually looks really interesting.
It does look interesting.
So this one, directed by Julia Hart, starring Gugu Mbatha-Raw, about a woman who has powers. And who is hiding them? And who is?
And we didn't really get to see the powers in the trailer.
There's sort of like earthquake and controlling of the wind and the clouds and all that.
Well, I think at one point somebody in the trailer says that she can control the Earth's magnetism.
Right.
Which is, you know, what does that really mean? It means you can fuck up the universe, I guess.
Sweet. Well, you could be a rain god and make it rain in areas that need rain.
There you go.
There you go.
I don't know. I just think
or get paid to stay away from resort areas. Just like Douglas Adams predicted.
I tell you what, it's a supernatural movie about a woman with powers, a woman of color with powers, directed by a woman. It's like checkmark for Raina, checkmark for Raina.
I like the colors. I like the colors. As they depict sort of like a magic kind of thing, how they see it, and it looks awesome.
I'm really, really curious.
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't find a trailer for High on the Hogs.
I actually did.
Oh, and?
It's exactly what you expect it to be.
I'm trying to read the description because I don't remember. Oh, so it's like a really bad cop movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get it, Pig Hog. I thought it was motorcycle film.
With the drugs and...
It'd be drugs, man.
Almost feels like a pre-2000 throwback.
Oh, God. I don't know why this came to mind. You said pre-2000 throwback. The other day, Dan was flipping through the channels and Tokyo Drift was on. Dan's like, look, Raina, it's your favorite. And I looked at the screen. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Tokyo Drift from 2 seconds of footage. Fucking love this movie. Fast nice. And Furious. Fast and Furious. Okay, sorry, I'll stop now. finishing off
it
the month.
It gave us Gal Gadot, so hey.
Hey, man, I love Tokyo Drift, legit.
Oh, I guess Tokyo Drift didn't, did it? It was
no,
the one.
No, I think it was the fourth one they gave us Gal Gadot.
Oh, okay.
I think it was the one after when Vin Diesel came back. But I legitimately I'm not even pretending to like. I mean, I don't like the second one. Too Fast and Furious is actually really bad, but Tokyo Drift is legit good.
Okay. Which is the one that makes me unbelievably angry? The one with the safes on wire that defy all physics?
Oh, I think
that's
the fifth one.
That one sucks. I hate that. I hate that all the way to hell.
I don't know. After a while, they all just start to blend together. Okay. Sorry to bring us to that.
All right.
But hey, I guess we're not too far off because, April 26th is bringing us Avengers Endgame. And at this point, I'm feeling exactly the same about these movies.
I will predict it.
At some point,
it.
They all just blend together.
Yeah. I'll predict it right now. Everything is saved by Scott Lang. Ant-Man will be the ultimate hero of everything.
I think
Captain Marvel is going to save the fucking day.
No, yeah. No. It will literally be...
No.
Tiny little Ant-Man that will save the day.
No.
He and Wasp will be her entourage, I think.
Pretty much.
Mm.
Well, no, actually, she got disappeared. So just Ant-Man will be.
Just Ant-Man.
The sidekick.
Oh, Scott Lang is going to stumble his way upon solving everything.
Wait, did he make it through the line? Oh, yeah, I guess he did.
He's but he's stuck in infinite whatever.
Oh, okay. I haven't.
Oh, did I just spoil something?
Oh, no. Dude, no.
This is how much I remember the first of these movies. I remember a bunch of characters didn't make it. I don't even know which ones.
Oh, well, the thing is, if you haven't seen Ant-Man and Wasp. It was the interstitials that they throw in at the end.
Okay.
Show him going into wherever I forget what it's called, that weird space that the wife was caught in, Michelle Pfeiffer. And that's when the big snap happens. So he's like, guys, guys.
Oh, and he's stuck in there.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I'm telling you, Ant-Man is going to save it all.
I don't know.
And I'll be vindicated because it is the best superhero ever.
I like Ant-Man.
I mean, I like Ant-Man. Don't get me wrong. I'm so done with these movies. I can't believe like all of these. Like, I look at the cast of actors and I'm like, when are you going to make something more? Like, when are you going to stop making Avengers movies and make something else? Because I'm bored. The first couple were great, and now I'm bored.
I know what you're saying. I feel the fatigue as well.
Yes.
Like, so many movies wrapped around the same storyline. Like, I don't like that, which is one of the reasons when Ant-Man came out, the original one, it was so wonderful because it was just separate.
And this is the thing. Like, there are still some superhero movies that manage to be interesting because they are their own story. Like, I liked Captain Marvel well enough. I really liked Ant-Man. I probably liked it more than I liked Captain Marvel. But, I mean, Black Panther was awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, give me something that's, like totally different, because these are just now, they're just the same to me. And like you say, maybe it's because they're all intertwined in one story. But honestly, I just don't care about Iron Man anymore.
I was done with Iron Man. Loved Iron Man, the first one.
Because it was new and interesting and really well made. And the rest have just been like, I just don't care.
Iron Man the first of the new sort of like wave of...
I think so.
Yeah.
Superhero?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So there was like Spider-Man. Like Batman, there was X-Men. All that,
but...
Right.
And Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then Iron Man.
A couple iterations
of Spider-Man. The first of the real sort of wave of Marvel superhero films.
But I mean, I think like Iron Man came like after the... was it after X-Men? Because X-Men was for a long time considered like the standard of superhero movies. Now you kind of look at them and you're like, this is what we are aspiring to? Okay. I don't know. I
agree with you completely. Like, I definitely am feeling the fatigue. I'm happy they're wrapping it up. It's clear from some of the commentaries I read about the actors that they're ready to move on, a lot of them.
Do you blame them? They've been doing this for like a decade.
Yeah, it was like fun for a while, but it's like the commitment is crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, at some point they're going to turn into, you know, Star Wars, where half of them are going to suck because you're putting out too many of them.
Yeah. I mean, arguably for some people that's already happened. But But I mean, it's like, I don't know, like Push showed up on Netflix,
that
right?
That movie's still awesome.
And Chris Evans. And it's like, you know, like...
Dude, I was watching...
We don't need these huge tentpoles for like a great movie.
I was watching Fantastic Four the other day. That movie is legit fun. The second one is shit.
Yeah.
But the first one was a lot of fun.
I am with you on that. The first one I still... And that was because after all those X-Men movies, like Johnny Flame, Chris Evans, it's just like, woohoo! Yeah. I have superpowers. It was like so wonderful to see. Like, why wouldn't you be happy?
Exactly. Okay, we've gotten off.
Just bring back the greatest American hero and Lilith Hobo, and we'll all be set.
There you go.
And wrapping up the month, because nothing else wants to compete with Avengers, The White Crow, a biopic on Rudolf Nureyev.
Yes.
I'm in.
It looks great.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
I have no interest in ballet, but it does look great.
Oh, see, and me. Bring me the ballet. I'll watch it. Directed by Ralph Fiennes. So, you know, I'm in.
All right.
That's okay. The month, guys.
Yep.
Oh, wait. We're not done yet. Sorry, Colleen. You're not off the hook yet.
No wonder my ears hurt. My headphones were on the wrong way.
So because we're all are a little early, I may have missed a couple of things, but I think I've pretty much covered what we've got coming up in Vancouver. The Cinematheque has Diamantino, which I am so excited about because I missed this at VIFF. I missed it at VIFF Repeats, and everybody said this movie is crazy fun. So the basic idea is that somebody tries to clone a guy that is basically Ronaldo to try to make an entire football team of Ronaldos. Let's just say things do not go well. Playing April 4th to the 7th. Andrew Bujalski's Funny Ha Ha is playing April 12th to the 14th. It's considered one of the first of the mumblecore movies. Jackie Chan's Police Story 1 and 2, a new restoration of both films, playing April 19th to the 21st. And I looked and all of the screenings are playing as a double bill if you're interested, though you can just buy a ticket to either one. The Raft. This is Marcus Lindeen's documentary from last year about the Acali experiment of 73. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Neither had I. I had to actually, I ended up reading the entire Wikipedia article on it. So they put 11 people on a raft, like with no engine or anything, and basically floated them across the Atlantic to see like how humans interact in small confined spaces.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Things obviously didn't end well. So the documentary plays April 26th to May the 1st. I'm super excited to see this. So I guess they have footage or something. I don't know.
I'd imagine they'd have a boat like 200 meters off the side.
So I'm really curious to see what's going on here. But the whole thing just sounds so weird. The Cinema Sunday for this month is Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. This is Cuarón's entry into the Harry Potter franchise. Last month they had The Little Princess, which he also directed, so they're like on a Cuarón kick, which is kind of interesting. National Canada Film Day is April 17th, so the Cinematheque is screening The Grey Fox, which is a fucking awesome movie.
Is that the one with Pierce Brosnan? Or?
No,
that was Grey Owl or something.
But this is the Borzos movie, which is probably one of my favorite of Borzos movies. It's a really, really good one. This one, and then there's the Black Robe, which I also really, really like. And then finally, Museo, which looks awesome. 70s period heist movie starring Gael Garcia Bernal, based on a true story about a pair of guys who rob a museum in Mexico, and they pull it off. But now they're left with all this artwork that they need to unload. And where the fuck do you sell artwork from a museum you just robbed?
You don't.
It looks so good. So it's playing April 26th to May 1st. I'm really excited to check that one out. Over at the Van City Theater, we have The World Before Your Feet. This is Jeremy Workman's documentary about Matt Green, who's this dude that's been walking around New York City for the past 6 years.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think we talked about this maybe last year on a podcast, playing April 1st to the 4th. Ghost Town Anthology. This is Denis Côté's new movie. He's French-Canadian director that makes these very sort of esoteric, quiet dramas. This one is kind of like a really bizarre remake of The Sweet Hereafter, where a small town is dealing with the death of a 21-year-old from a car accident. But you have to look at the trailer to see what I mean. Like, it looks weird. playing April 1st to the 4th. Three Faces, this is Jafar Panahi's new movie, which is awesome. So he's the Iranian director who isn't supposed to be making movies anymore, because he's like under house arrest or something, but he's still making movies. So this one is really interesting. It stars himself and a woman who is playing a version of herself, who's an actress. They get the woman gets a letter from, or a video of, I think it's a video, a cell phone video, of a young woman who apparently kills herself. But they go basically driving through the countryside trying to find her because they're not really sure if she's actually dead or not. It's really, really good. I really enjoyed it. This month's Cinema Salon is Amadeus, which I may have to go and see because I freaking love this movie. And I have not seen it on the big screen, I think, ever.
That's awesome.
So this will be a first.
Is Tom Hulk?
Yeah.
Is that the actor in that?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
But it's really good. And the Cinema Salon is always like, they always have an introduction and a Q&A afterwards. And this one is hosted by Otto Tausk.
He doesn't do the laugh anymore.
No?
He came up with that really. Yeah.
Oh, that guy. Yes. Yeah. The actor that plays that. Okay. What is his name?
Tom Hulk.
Okay.
Like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Hulk out. What you can do when the Hulk comes for you.
Cap City Comic Con is going on this weekend as we're recording, and I have been tracking their Instagram, and they've had Jake the Snake Roberts all over, and it's been really fun.
Nice.
And Cap Video Fest, April 20th, all day at the Van City Theater.
That sounds just insane enough to be going to.
Full day of Cap videos, people. And no. That's all I got.
No.
That's what I would say.
I do have one. Since we are doing this early enough, I can report on the Midnight Madness movie at the Hollywood 3 in Pitt Meadows.
It is.
March 29th, midnight, Pitt Meadows, just off of Harris Road or whatever the hell. It's this month's fair is The Warriors, 40th anniversary.
Come out wherever you are.
That's right.
I love that movie.
If you're... in and around the Tri-Cities or the Pitt Meadows region kind of thing, and you want to watch The Warriors.
Which is really good.
March 29th, Friday.
You know, I want to say, not recently, but like in the last 6 years, I've seen that movie on the big screen. Oh, I remember. It was part of one of the Cineplex late night things that Paul used to host.
Yeah.
They did a screening of The Warriors that I went to.
I can't make this one. Not that I often make them now that I'm a plumber and I'm in bed by 9. Because I'm exhausted. Marina, myself, the illustrious...
Green Screen of Death crew.
Are both coming?
Both.
Oh, nice, nice. The Green of Death guys.
Guys, it's going to be a reunion. Dale, you're going to miss out, man.
Bill Harris and Andre, they're going to come, and we're going to spend 24 hours. Well, together. Some of you are going to be spending 24 hours. I'm going to attempt it and fail as per normal.
You never say that, because you never know.
I will fail. 24 hours of films that I have no control over shaky cam, I'm going to fail. I am. But I'm going to see how many. I think last time I was 7 films in. Cleo, 5 to 7, finally put me over the top, and I had to tap out somewhere around like 8:30 at night going, I'm done. So before they locked the doors for the night, I got out of there. Otherwise, I would have been passed out on their little bench out front. Are you feeling okay? You don't look okay. No, I'm not feeling okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm nervous. I need to start figuring
hydrating.
Out what, I need to start figuring out what I need to take with me.
I will be there in spirit. I will be packing in reality.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Right. You have bigger, more important things to deal with.
That's important.
Yeah. So that's it for the month of April. We're almost at the 6 month mark. Where has this year gone, guys?
I know.
It's gone into installing bathtubs and water testing, a little bit of coring.
Fun things.
Yeah. Apartment hunting.
I know.
Car hunting.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
My mom and dad found out about my forearm tattoo, so now my dad's not speaking to me, which is hilarious.
Drama. But so what are you going to do with this makeup that you bought?
You know what? I've already tried it out and walked through there, and I don't think they noticed. I'm going, this stuff works great. My dad is irrationally angry and will not look me in the eyes and is avoiding me as much as possible. And my mom, who went to Mexico this morning, read him the riot act. He's going, you will not antagonize. She is wearing hoodies around you not to antagonize you. You are not to antagonize her. I will know if you have. She has every right to do whatever stupid thing she wants to do with her body.
And that, to which I respond, moms are legit the best.
I love you, mom. Yeah.
So. Legit the best.
Little does she
dads
know.
Dads are awesome, but moms are the best.
Oh, how the tides will turn when she sees a new motorcycle in the driveway. Then I'll be up shit creek with both of them.
So, oh, dear.
Antagonizing. It's what I do.
So we'll probably be recording something. We don't know what. I have no idea what it's going to look like, but we'll figure something out.
The marathon files.
Yeah. That's actually a good title. I like that.
Good job.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to write that down. Otherwise, I'm going to forget. So
I'm
going to
do a half marathon, maybe a 10K. The 10K files.
So, you know, we'll do something, and then we'll be back in a couple of weeks after that with the media spew. So, come on by atcpod.ca, links to all the trailers, and we'll link to all the stuff going on in town. And until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Wicked or weakness, you gotta see this. I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Finesse a nigga with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this. Parmesan where my accountant lives, in fact I'm down in this. You say with my boobay tastes like Kool-Aid for the analyst. Girl, I can buy a Westie World with my base stuff. Ooh, that pussy good, won't you sit it on my taste buds? I get way too petty, won't you let me do the extras? Pull up on your block, then break it down, we playing Tetris. AM to the PM, PM to the AM phone. out your per diem. You just gotta hate them funk. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Bitch, be humble.
Hold up, bitch.
Sit down.
Hold up,
be humble.
Bitch, hold up, bitch.
Sit down.
Sit down,
be humble.
Bitch,
bitch, sit down.
Little
bitch, be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble.
Sit down.
Bitch, sit down.
Little
bitch, be humble. Sit down. Who that nigga thinking that he frontin' on women? Get the fuck off my stage, I'm the semen. Get the fuck off my dick, that ain't right. I make a play fucking up your whole life. I'm so fucking sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks. Still a take you down right on your mama couch in polo sock. Ayy, this shit way too crazy, ayy. You do not amaze me, ayy. I blew cool from ACA. Obama just paged me, ayy. I don't fabricate it, ayy. Most of y'all be faking, ayy. I stay modest about it, ayy. She elaborated, ayy. This that Grey Poupon, that Avion, that TED Talk, ayy. Watch my soul speak, you let the meds talk, ayy. If I kill a nigga, it won't be the alcohol, ayy. I'm the realest nigga after all, bitch, be humble.
Hold up, bitch,
sit down.
Hold up,
be humble.
Hold up, bitch,
sit down.
Sit down,
be humble.
Bitch,
bitch, sit down.
Bitch,
be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble.
Sit down.
Bitch, sit down.
Little
bitch, be humble. Sit down.